Boston's number one fantasy sports show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audiovisual Consultations.
I'm happy that you guys are here with me. Me, Justin, and Sam on 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. You stream live at hornfm.com and on Twitch. Oh, but we're not on Twitch. Sammy, you're going to have to crank the volume up. Get me through it. Oh! Oh! Yes! Yes! Cap, 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 cap! Woo! Woo! I put that in. NHL playoffs started last night. Caps set the tone. 1-0. We already got the game up on the series, baby. Boston's going down. Should have been first in the division, but we took second. Sorry, Pittsburgh. You suck.
Ah, I love those battles between the Caps and the Pens.
Caps and Pens. I'll tell you what, TJ likes it too. TJ always talks trash to me as well. He's a big Pens fan as well.
That's the best part about sports, is that little rivalry.
And you know what? Here's another thing. I'm coming in hot too.
Coming in hot again?
A lot of people hate on Tom Wilson.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Guess what?
You just want Tom Wilson on your team.
He is one of the type of players.
Game one, one goal, one assist in the first game. And he just does stuff that doesn't even go on the stat list. He's just a big body, ferocious player. Physical, offensive powerhouse. Coming to get your lunch.
I'm trying to think of other sports where you have similar players like that. I know in basketball you got a Pat Beverly. You guys got guys that you don't like.
Yeah, let's go down this list. All right, so I'm coming in hot on this. All right.
Yeah.
If there, what other athletes out there that are on your team, right? You love him, but when he's not on your team or she's on your team, you hate him.
Man, that's tough. I know
Romanowski was one of them for me.
Yeah,
Bill Romanowski.
I know Bruce Bowen definitely gets a lot of hate from the NBA old heads, but if you were a Spurs fan, you loved him.
So if you were a defensive savant, right? If you were a defensive specialist, is this your title? Is this in your bag?
Yeah, you would think so. Like Bill Laimbeer, like you would hate to have to go against him.
Rodman.
Yeah, but you would like to have those type of players on your team because you need that type of player.
And I feel like it's more prominent prevalent in hockey though.
Oh, definitely, because it was accepted.
Bregman. Oh, that's a good one. I hate Bregman, but I'd love to have him on my squad.
Man, because like hockey back then was built upon like having the enforcer, having the goon.
Right.
And you needed to have that guy that was willing to get dirty to help your playmaker survive.
But I feel like Wilson is more of that.
But that's the beauty of his play.
2 points last night.
That's the beauty of his play, though. He brings that enforcer mentality, but he has the skills. He's not just a straight-up enforcer.
He also plays on a really good line.
That helps, too.
Yeah.
That definitely helps.
Ovechkin going out and just, you know, laying the lumber on Krejcik yesterday, man. Just setting the tone early. Just really good stuff by the Caps. Hashtag all Caps.
Oh, I know how you get excited about the Caps.
Well, I mean, I love hockey, and, you know, Tom McKay, you know, huge sponsor of the Wagner Wire, loves hockey, too. It's just, you know, we don't have that much of a following here.
Well, I catch you at the Texas Stars games.
Yeah, you Texas Stars, you got some loyal listeners, loyal fans. Dallas Stars, you know, hockey's starting to be prevalent up north a little bit. But it would just be fun to just have an hour of full-fledged hockey talk.
Hey, maybe you could be the one to bring it.
Hey, Putz13, I don't know if that's his real name, but that's what the text line has given him the name. But he says Adama Kasu.
And Ndamukong Suh is one of those players, too.
Yeah, I mean, like, he gets a lot of hate, but no doubt, the guy just won a Super Bowl.
Dude, I think he is the perfect rental piece, too, for NFL defensive linemen, right?
Yeah,
like,
easily.
I mean, if you're on the verge of winning a Super Bowl and you're just a piece away, man, he's a great one-year contract.
You know, in his prime, Richard Sherman was one of those guys. I know that he would get under people's skin with the way he talks, but I loved the way he played when he was healthy.
Yeah, I'm there too. What's another?
Try to think of somebody that's more.
Try to think of some baseball players.
Baseball players. Dang, that's hard because there's only. Like, that has to do more with attitude, you would think, than it does with actual performance. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of people that would not want Barry Bonds on their team, but I would love to have prime Barry Bonds on my team.
There's some dirty baseball players out there.
Oh, easily. I mean, it's not like Jeff Kent was a saint.
Right.
You know, I mean, he was just as bad as Bonds.
Man, that's a second baseman that don't get enough love, though, bro.
Oh, no. He definitely performed. He was an MVP that year. But, I mean, just to have the fact that both of your all-star players were feuding during that year, I mean, how many times do you see that? I guess Jeter, A-Rod, are those players that you hate? I mean, I had A-Rod on my team. I wasn't a huge fan then. And
I hated Jeter just because – I hated A-Rod because he was just good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I hated Jeter out of more respect than I did.
I thought it was because of the ladies. A-Rod. Just because, you know, he could get it done on the field and off the field. And it's like, man, some guys just have all the luck.
I couldn't stand Jeter just – I mean – One, I hated all Yankees because they'd come and they'd poach the Orioles.
Let me ask you this. Is Tim Tebow one of those guys? Like,
if you were a player,
would you want him on your team because you know he can be a bit of a distraction? He's outspoken and he's going to bring the media with him, but he might not add anything to your team besides that.
Well, who's going to bring – why would the media – he's really not a story. Like,
he got a full press day covering that story about him becoming a tight end. We're talking about it right now.
But was that valid? Like, why did he have to have that? Just because
I don't know,
just because
he's
31. He's in phenomenal shape.
Yeah.
Right? So if he's good enough to make a squad, and I heard what Bart Scott said, too, like about how he's taking reps away from young NFL players or young prospects. All right, well, that's bull crap because that was the whole, you know, that was the whole hate on him in baseball, too. Everybody was saying, all right, well, you're taking good swings, good at-bats, ABs away from young minor league baseball
That's
players.
Exactly what
That's
happened.
That's true. That's what happened. He batted .223 in single-A baseball.
Yeah, that could have been somebody else's spot.
Right, but don't bring that argument over to football where you've seen that he's been a winner. He chose to be a quarterback in an NFL. He's not an NFL prototype quarterback.
But how come he was able to skate by on that? Like, how come nobody else gave him any guff about saying, like, oh, I just want to be a quarterback? I swear, if that was any other player, you would have had all the pundits, all these fans saying, like, now you're just being a selfish player. Because he was selfish.
They did call him selfish. That's why they ran him out of the league. They ran him out of the league.
I mean, the people that know football ran him out of the league, but
the fans didn't run him out of the league.
People
got on him for taking a knee, saying that he was too conservative. Remember that happening?
No, I don't remember that happening.
I remember it happening. I remember him catching a lot of flack for that, but I don't know.
I just remember him not being a good NFL quarterback.
I remember that too. I remember him also throwing one pass in an overtime playoff
and
game
not wanting to convert
and beating the Steelers.
So, yeah, that did happen.
I mean, if you go to Josh McDaniel and Josh McDaniel can't make you into a prototype quarterback and you're sitting behind Tom Brady, then maybe you should be less selfish.
That's all I'm saying.
And try to play a different position.
That's all I'm saying.
He's doing that now at 31. Maybe a little bit too late in the ball game, but if you're in fantastic shape, right? If you are that much of an athlete to where you can be on the field, if you're part of the best 40-man roster, 40-man roster is baseball. If you're part of the best 55-man roster, then yeah, you belong.
Look,
out there.
It's cute what Tim Tebow has achieved, right?
If he's good enough to do it, then he's
But
good
let me
to do
say
it.
This about Tim Tebow: can he block? Because as an NFL tight end, you have to be able to block. And can he catch?
We'll see.
Consistently.
Can Kyle Pitts block?
We're going to find out.
No.
We're going to find out.
He's listed as a tight end. Matter of fact, he's coming out of the same college as Tim Tebow did. He's
coming out of
Florida.
But depending on the coach, you're going to have to adjust to the scheme, or you're going to get lucky and get a coach that adjusts to you. But that rarely happens.
I think Tebow is a... I think he can play in certain systems. I don't think he can...
Yeah, but how many coaches are going to
dominate in today's NFL as a tight end? Maybe if he wants to be, we'll see.
He's average size for a tight end. I don't know if he can do it.
If he's the best on the roster, if he's one of the best 55 on the roster, put him out
but
there.
But see, as a fan, I wouldn't even want to have this discussion if he was on the Cowboys. I'd be like, no, get rid of him now. There's no reason to go through this.
So he's too much of a distraction?
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Well, you're a Tebow hater.
I'm not just a Tebow hater. I'm not just a Tebow hater. I'm a distractions hater. But in this case, yes, I don't think he needs to be on the team.
Well, if
easy.
I say if he's good enough to be on the team, he deserves to be on the team.
I don't know. A guy that was playing some minor league baseball, I don't feel is good enough to be in the NFL.
He was a professional football player before he tried to be a major league baseball
player. I know, but I feel like he just got an opportunity that most would have not been able to get. Like, if that was Charlie Ward, he wouldn't get that same opportunity that Tim Tebow did. And Charlie Ward was a much better football player than Tim Tebow.
Disagree.
I don't disagree.
Tim Tebow, come on, man. The stats don't lie.
Heisman Trophy winner, too, is Charlie Ward.
Right, but
the only Heisman Trophy winner to actually go play in the NBA. The guy was going to be pro at two sports.
I would say he was a better hooper than he was in NFL football.
We never got a chance to see that.
I think he would have done better than Tebow. Charlie Ward with the Knicks than Charlie Ward just at, you know, football player.
And even if you want to just go by pro career, I mean, Charlie Ward had a better pro career than Tim Tebow did.
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, look, he's been dying. He had longevity in the NBA where Tim Tebow got ran out of the NFL.
Yeah, but I think that if Charlie Ward went to the NFL, I think he would have had more success than Tim Tebow would have.
We don't know that.
Well, we know that Tim Tebow wouldn't have had the same success at the NBA level.
Oh, well, he wasn't a base. Come on, man.
That's all I'm saying.
He wasn't a basketball player.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, well, Tim Tebow is not getting a lot of love on the show today.
Not from me.
Not from Justin, that's for sure. I say if you're good enough to be on the field, you deserve a shot. Until you're not good enough to be on the field.
We'll revisit this after spring training camp. Or after training camp and see where he's at.
Well, yeah, I mean, that'll tell the tape. But right now, Urban Meyer is just entertaining the idea that the guy can play because he's in tremendous shape. But we'll see. If you can't block, you don't belong to be in the tight end position. One of the things that makes George Kittle such a dominant tight end is that he can do both.
Exactly.
There's a lot of tight ends out there. Even Evan Engram right now for the Giants, he can't block.
No.
He can't block the safety.
But see, Kelsey, he can block.
Yep, Kelsey can block. Kittle, they're the prototype tight ends, though.
Right now, yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, Gronk was that tight end, but, I mean, Gronk shows up in big games. That's for sure.
He still shows up, though, man. He can still make the big grab. That's important, too.
Yankees fans here, hey, guys, hated George Brett so much, but I sure respected him. Sal in New York City. George Brett would be one of those guys, too.
I can easily see that fiery temperament, willing to go the extra mile to make sure that his team won. He was going to get in a fight for his own teammates.
Was he a dirty player? Was Brett a dirty player?
That's really tough to say. I wouldn't.
There was that bat. There was the tar. So what? All right. So does that constitute as a dirty player trying to do like the spitball or is that just getting over on?
The problem with saying that, though, is the.
Everybody does it. No, I'm
so they're
you.
All dirty,
no,
right?
Sure.
Yeah. So I think it's just part of the game. And baseball is weird because it's one of those sports that has tons of unwritten rules. Everything from equipment to decor to how you handle yourself while playing the game. Like there's a lot. It's almost more painstakingly thorough and rigid than golf can be in some cases when it comes to the unwritten rules of baseball. But the matter of the fact is, ever since the beginning of this sport, every player has looked for an advantage, whether it be by drug or whether it be by enhancing the equipment or getting a little extra spin on a baseball. So all of them still do it. We talk about RPMs. Pitchers are still getting their RPMs up. And the only way you can do it at this level is by doctoring the ball.
Right, and we know everybody doctors ball. It's just about getting caught.
Exactly. It's all about, it's like, you know, taking your big test in high school or in college. It's like, yeah, sure, cheat if you want. You know what the risks are, but if you don't get caught, you don't get caught, right?
Lenny Dykstra.
Is
Madison Bumgarner one of those guys?
Ooh, that's a good question.
He talks a lot of smack, too.
But see, I don't hate players like that. Like, I love Terrell Owens on the Dallas Cowboys. I love big talkers. I like the fact that if you're going to talk big and you can bring it and you can back it up, even better. It's the ones that talk and can't back it up, I think, are the ones that you find the most annoying.
Well, who is that, though?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. You really don't get to me.
Okay. Is Russ Westbrook a guy that you hate but love if he's on your squad? He doesn't play dirty, though. That's the thing. He just never shuts down. He just never stops going.
No, he just plays hard. I like him anyways. Regardless of who he plays for, just because even if he's inefficient, you know he's giving you 100% that night.
Stevens.
Stevens?
So I'm trying to think of the dude's last name. I can't think of this dude's last name.
From what sport?
Basketball. Pacers. Oh, my God. I can't think of the dude's last name.
From the Pacers. Lance Stevenson?
Lance Stevenson. Boom. That's a guy.
Oh.
That's a guy that if he's on my squad, hey, go mess with this dude. Get in his head. Do whatever you need to do. But if you're on the other dude, you just don't want to see this dude even come into the court.
Yeah, it's him and Dellavedova. Like, those guys are kind of scrappy, but you don't want to go against them because they can be a little dirty. And who's that guy that played for Duke that's now with Memphis? Like, he just gets tons of hate. You know what I'm talking about. What's his name?
Oh, Redick?
Not Redick. The new one.
Redick was with the Mavericks.
Yeah, yeah, but not Redick. The new one that just came out. He's kind of a dirty defensive player. He's like a rookie. Oh, man, he had
I know.
I can't think of his name. It escapes me, but he plays for the Memphis Grizzlies. He's one of those guys that you don't want him on your team, or you hate him because of the way he plays, but if he's on your team, you're all right with it because you know he's playing hard. A little dirty, but hard. Same thing with Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart's enough. That's a good one. That's a good pull.
Yeah, like
Marcus Smart's a dude that you definitely want on your squad, but a dude that you just don't want to play
against. Nah, I hate playing against the Celtics because of him, just because you know he's going to shut somebody down.
What started this conversation was Tom Wilson.
Yep.
Tom Wilson's dominating performance in Game 1 versus the Bruins. One goal, one assist, and a very controversial player because a lot of people say he plays dirty. I say he plays hockey like the game's supposed to be played. So a lot of people don't like him, but I say if he's on your team, you'd probably love him. You hate him because he's on the Capitals, and you don't root for the Capitals. I'm calling it right now, not because I'm a Homer fan. Capitals are going to hoist the Stanley Cup.
Woo! Man, you're really hoping.
I'm hoping.
It's maybe because Ovechkin has, put some money into that NWSL franchise, too. Oh, nice. So maybe some good karma for helping, women's sports gain another level of acceptance.
Draymond Green, one of those players.
Oh, easily Draymond. That's probably the prototypical NBA player right now that, he's a little bit older. He really never has been like the top tier talent guy. He's been the glue guy who always gets the dirty work done, and he's willing to get into a fight for his teammates. You like that on your team, but man, that irritates you as an opposing fan.
Is Draymond a product of the Warriors system? Could he be as efficient and I mean, he is dominant. He's one of the best.
He's dominant at what he does. But I think you can call him a system player because while he had some flashes of brilliance playing under Tom Izzo at Michigan State, he was still a 4 or 5 year player. He didn't go early. He was drafted late. He was kind of more of a guy that came together late and was able to piece it together with the Warriors. And he's not the guy on that team even now. He's always been surrounded by superstars to where he plays more of the Horace Grant role. It's like, yeah, he scores when he has to. He's really pulling down boards and playing defense.
Yeah, he's a stopper.
Yeah.
This is probably one of the best quotes that I've seen on the Specs text line right now. Again, 512-337-3776 if you want to contribute on the Specs text line. Turns out he's a pretty good guy, but I hated John Starks back in the day. Classic.
That is great.
Classic
yes.
Hate right there. Yes, I'm with you. If you're thinking about Grayson Allen, yes.
Yes, Grayson Allen, thank you. That
Grayson
is him.
Allen, that is the dude. I couldn't remember his name. I knew it was two first names.
Wags, your listeners are amazing, man. They hit the nail on the head almost every time.
Well, I mean, they're very tapped in here. Very tapped in. It's not just a Wagnermeyer thing. It's a Horn thing. I always say this. It's not a me thing. It's a we thing.
But I appreciate, the welcoming conversation that we're having with all these different viewpoints. Like, no real hate. Everybody's just trying to get a nice civil discussion.
Well,
this is great.
I think that's the whole point, right, of coming to rational discourse is, being able to have a conversation without, getting so offended at someone else's opinion.
Exactly.
You just ask them for that opinion. Like,
that's the art
of conversation,
right? The whole point.
And I think we forget about that.
Man, people
we go into a conversation and we're just like, hey, what do you think about this guy? Well, that's not how I feel. You suck.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to you anymore. Yeah, I'm not your friend anymore. You can't come in my treehouse.
Wags, your text line is lining up. Apparently, there is a lot of hate for former Duke basketball players
who are in the
NBA.
Duke, we hate Duke here. That's a good. I'm happy. You know what? Our Fairberg has learned to hate Duke. We like J.J. Redick because he's on the Mavs now.
Oh, I do now because he's on the Mavs.
I mean, I don't know. That's kind of like a thing that we have here. Like, we hate Duke. Like, and even if you start getting me on, like, punching people in the face that went to Duke, I'll take that for 30 minutes. I'm serious.
Like, I know you will. That's just it, man. And most of the country will, too.
Greg Paulus. Yeah. Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller has to be in there somewhere, right?
Ooh, if you're a Knicks fan, you must hate Reggie
you
Miller.
You gotta hate Reggie Miller.
Me? I'm indifferent.
He killed your playoff decade, man.
Let me ask you this. How do you feel about Reggie Miller as a broadcaster? That's more of a divisive question, I think. Him and Chris Webber.
I think he does better as Wendy's commercials. I don't know.
Wendy's commercials not bad.
I think he does very well at bringing you some of the X's and O's of the game. But, you know, again, there's times where Reggie just shut up and let the play-by-play guy go.
Let me say this, though. I don't understand. After all these years, how does Christian Laettner still generate the hate that he gets? All these years later, the guy's been retired. I know he was on the dream team as the one college guy who didn't belong there.
He's the prototypical Duke dude. Like, anytime you mention Duke, you just envision that classic white boy mid-range jumper.
Oh,
nothing
man.
But fundamentals, box you out.
I get that, but the guy was from Buffalo. You know, yeah. It's not like he came from, not like he had Grant Hill's upbringing.
I just don't like him.
No.
You know how you're hating on Tebow?
Yeah.
I'm hating on Laettner.
And that's fair.
I hate on everybody from Duke.
And totally fair.
It's because it's my opinion.
Exactly.
100%.
I might not agree with it, but I respect your right to say it.
All right, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline right now and welcome on a dear friend of mine, Corporal Smith, Mr. Russell Smith there, Devil Dog USMC type. One each, Corporal type one each on the Chevron there. What's going on, Russell? Been a while, man.
It has been, buddy. Yeah, I just got issued a new Mark One eyeball the other day. I'm pretty pleased with it. I'm seeing things pretty clearly.
How about that? You got some high def going on? What's up there, Russ?
Well, I developed some cataracts and I just went and had that fixed on Monday, and vision in my left eye is now approaching 20/20. So, yeah, getting really, really good results out of that. My surgeon is top notch and really, really pleased.
Love it, man. I don't know if you guys, most of you guys know out there that listen to the show, Russell was actually, he debuted on the first ever Wagner Wire show. He brought me up a bottle of Balcones Blue. And man,
what the first show?
The first show, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, "Hey, you don't get
the
to come on.
Yeah,
you don't get
blue.
To come here back scene and or you know backstage and whatnot, and not get to come on the air, man. Especially if you bringing me some of this Balcones Blue,
yeah,
dude, you gonna come on air, man?
Right, and the old baby blue, yeah. Hey, don't let me forget. I also owe you. I owe you.
You don't owe me nothing, brother. You're good, bro.
Okay. Look. Okay, as Devil Dog to Devil Dog, okay? I have tried, and I found a very fine tequila.
Okay.
Right. The distillery is owned by the comedian Ron White.
Ron, okay.
The brand is called The Number Juan.
Awesome. All right.
It is the tequila. The tequila is its finest blue agave, and then once they've roasted the agave and they've distilled out the tequila, they take the tequila and they age it in used bourbon barrels, my man.
Wow. Are you a salesman for these guys?
No.
You don't get any cut?
I have just tried it, and it is probably the best tequila I've ever had.
Well, I am looking forward to tasting that, Russell.
It's tequila, but it's got just the nose of bourbon. It's got a little bit of vanilla in there with that spice of the tequila, buddy.
That sounds dangerous, dude.
It is. Oh, my friend, it is top notch. Top notch stuff.
Russell, we appreciate you calling, man. I appreciate hearing your voice, man. It's been way too long, dude. Let's get together.
Buddy, it has been, brother. Hey, look, I'll be in touch. I'll give you guys an update, and I will we'll get down to one of our favorite purveyors of fine spirits, and we'll bring a bottle by the studio to you.
It sounds good, man. I can't wait to see you, man. You be safe out there, and thanks for calling in, Russell. We appreciate it.
You know,
be well.
Take care, Staff Sergeant. You have a good one.
You too, man. Call me Staff Sergeant. Semper Fi Alice, man. It's been a while. That took me back for a minute, man. I looked over my left. Don't call me. Hey, that's right, though, man. That title never
I saw
away.
It warp you right back.
It did, dude. I just stood up straight. I was like, what the hell? Come to attention, man.
Hey, man.
Parade rest.
They owe the corporal a bottle. after that description. I think he earned his own bottle right there.
I think they did too, man. Corporal Russell Smith, thank you for calling in.
Think about that. That was show number one. You haven't said it yet, but you're on show 201 today.
Yeah, 201.
That's 200 shows ago, man. Yeah, man. That's like three lifetimes.
You know, I would really love to have a daily show. That'd be fun. We do it with streams. That's cool, too. But, I mean, to be on terrestrial radio and have a daily show or satellite radio and have a daily show, that'd be fantastic.
You're saying it, you're putting it out there, and I'm a big believer if you say it, you can achieve it.
Oh, the self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, definitely. Right. You got to believe to achieve, right?
Yeah, but 100%.
Exactly. 100%. So you put it out there, maybe somebody heard you, maybe somebody else can give you that chance.
The journey begins with a single step, young Padawan.
Definitely.
The journey begins with a single step.
And sometimes it's not even the step, you have to crawl it.
Well, that too. Sometimes if it's a good night, you really got to crawl it. Don't go anywhere. On the other side, we'll be taking another step to break. So don't go nowhere. We're going to have Justin Wells come on. We'll talk a little bit about Greg Brown and his decision to go to the NBA. That's right. It's the Wagner Wire, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Streaming live at hornfm.com.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire. Here's Wags.
Welcome back to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. You stream live at hornfm.com. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to go to the Vicarious Caffeine Cantina Hotline and welcome on Justin Wells, managing editor for Inside Texas. IT always setting the standard for all your information on the 40 acres. A lot of good crew over there as well. Lots of good nuggets. Let's go to the specs text line real quick. You're thinking of Grayson Allen. Yes, that's correct. Also, Christian Laettner was one of the worst to come from Duke.
Everybody hates on Christian Laettner.
I mean, statistically, he just wasn't, in comparison to some of the greats that have came out of. Battier. I hated Battier so bad.
Oh, if he wasn't on your team, yes. But he was a terrific player.
Terrific college player.
Oh, he was a good pro player too, man. You wanted him. He was like
He was the cog. You're right.
He was definitely one of those D and three guys that the NBA relies so heavily on now.
Correct. I would say probably the best to do it that came from Duke to me, and that's not just because he's on the Mavs, man. Like it was JJ Redick. Like he would literally have signs saying, like, JJ, what we did to your sister last night was so awful. I don't know how your mom's ever going to forgive her and let her in the house. Like, stuff like that. Like,
that's true. It was pretty heinous.
Like, it was some raunchy, raunchy stuff to this dude. And he was able to take it on the chin. Like,
yeah, he played right through it. Didn't even faze him.
Yeah, like Cole Fieldhouse had. And matter of fact, I think he played a few games in Cole Fieldhouse, but he dealt with the Comcast Center as well, which just housed even more players or housed even more.
Yeah,
degenerates, dude.
It was like it was definitely a national hate tour.
College Park really had
Duke,
some haters there
with JJ Redick on that team for sure.
Yeah, that's what sucks though, too. Like you know, because I get it, like. A&M in Texas can't play their game either, but ever since, and me coming from the East Coast, and I get on this a lot, and maybe you guys are sick of hearing it, I don't care, but it's my emotions. I'm a Pisces.
Well, it's your show,
I'm a Pisces. I wear it on my sleeve. Just being from the East Coast, like, and once Maryland went to the Big Ten, that ACC, you know, that conference schedule went away, and, you know, they don't have enough non-conference games to schedule for Maryland-Duke basketball. It was such a great rivalry.
Yeah.
Such a great out-of-state rivalry. Like, Tobacco Road, it's got so much good rivalries there all throughout North Carolina with Duke, North Carolina, NC State, and Wake Forest, and all kinds of colleges in North Carolina. But out-of-state, like Maryland going down into Greensboro for the ACC championship. Man, that's what it was all about back in the day, man.
Oh, man.
A lot of nostalgia.
Lots of movement, but everybody's there to make some money, so that's just how it is now.
All right, let's go to the Vicaros Cafe and Cantina Hotline to welcome on Inside Texas's own, the managing editor, Justin Wells. You can find him on Twitter at JustinWells2424. He brings you all the news and nuggets that you need from the 40 acres. What's going on, brother? Thanks for joining the Wagner Wire today, man.
Mr. Wagner, good morning, brother. How you guys doing?
I'm doing well, man. Hey, first off, you know, usually, you know, you're bringing us all the news and notes and nuggets for the 40 acres, but you're a fantasy savant as well, man. Do you have anything going on with some dynasty NFL football leagues coming up? Because you should be getting ready to prep for your dynasty league soon.
As soon as the draft, I never look at anything until after the draft. And as soon as I see where kind of some of the players are going, specifically, obviously, the position guys, where I see where they go, where they see where they land, I start formulating my pre-draft plan. And by doing that, it kind of gets you set up for fantasy. Because, you know, I am a fantasy savant. I love fantasy basketball.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
For the third time in 4 years, I was beaten in the finals. And it's still – I haven't got over it yet. It's
bitter taste, huh? Bitter taste?
I'm this week in first place in fantasy baseball, and I'm going to ride that. I'm real fired up about that. But football is the bread and butter. And I got to tell you, Najee Harris to the Steelers looks really crispy.
So, and that's where I'm so glad you brought that up. All right, so, Justin, this Dynasty League, right, for fantasy football, it's a rookie league, or it's a rookie draft only, and there's only 9 picks that you can make total out of this entire draft. You have 3 rounds in basically you're just – or excuse me, 3 rounds – excuse me, I was wrong. There's only 3 picks that you can make, not 9 picks. So you only have 3 picks to make out of the entire rookie draft class here. And I had the 9th pick overall. Do you think Harris can fall to me?
No.
No. He says no. We talked about this all show.
I don't think he can either. Like, I wanted to. Like, I was putting him around 8 or 7 and hopeful, just very optimistic if he fell to me at 9.
You feel – that's to me, that seems a little overly optimistic because obviously you've got the quarterbacks, but you don't really want to jack with rookie quarterbacks. So then you go to the wide receivers, and those guys are going off the board early and earlier in every draft,
right,
every year. And those can come in and score instantly for you in fantasy football, whereas in the past we had to wait till about that third year to get some real goodness out of one of those quality receivers. Now they can do it automatically. The people to Harris, there's no way. He's a volume carry back on a team that – started off as a run team, kind of shifted to the pass because of their talent and their personnel, but they're still ingrained in that old school grind it out, and they'll go back to running the ball. Tomlin loves doing that. There's no way. I would be shocked if he wasn't one of the first 3 guys picked.
And it's a perfect fit for Harris, right? It feels like that Steelers pedigree is just a perfect fit for him to don the black and gold, right?
It's too good. It makes too much sense. Roethlisberger into the Hall of Fame, and Najee Harris raised his hand first. I mean, it's a perfect situation for those guys.
All right, so other than Najee Harris, what's another – I mean, is it just nothing but Alabama studs coming out here? You know, you got to like Smith as well, right, being one of the number one wide receivers coming out as well.
You know, I don't like Smith in his rookie year.
Just because of the situation that he fell to?
No, it's very difficult, man, because think about it. You know, they went with Jalen Reagor last year. Reagor was hurt a little bit. When he was healthy, he did well. So they got some speed on the outside. They're small, though, and they don't really have a guy that can get them the football. I'm not convinced Jalen Hurts is an NFL starting quarterback just yet. So I'm not really hyped up on these Eagles, even though Jalen Reagor and Devontae Smith are absolute studs. I'm a little leery. Jalen Waddell at Miami is sexy. Okay, like this is a team that does not have a breakout wide receiver type guy. If there's somebody on this group that's going to become a 1,000-yard receiver and you know, get in the end zone early, I like Jalen Waddell. I like his spot in Miami. I like the moves they did. I think their franchise trajectory is moving up. And so, if I had to go with someone, actually, Najee Harris would probably be my first pick. If I had the first pick in this dynasty draft, I'd probably go with Harris just from a statistical standpoint, from a strategy standpoint. But Jalen Waddell, pay attention to that guy.
There we go.
That's a great move right there for Miami. I think that's a guy that I'm going to try to sneak in late in some of my drafts just because, you know, we've been doing this so long, brother. I've seen him in high school at Baylor Episcopal, dominant. You see him at Alabama as the third best receiver, the fourth best receiver, then the first best, then the second best. Dominant. I think that carries over. And so if you're looking for other I don't know about other running backs. I know the ones that went later in a few other rounds, and those are guys you got to pay attention to, especially the cat out of Memphis. But at the end of the day, Najee Harris would probably be my best pick, and I think Jalen Waddell's got the most upside in his rookie year. Not overall, but in his rookie year, going into Miami.
I love it, man. Nothing but good stuff and nuggets from Justin Wells, managing editor for Inside Texas. They got a really good crew over there, Inside Texas. Eric Nalin, Joe Cook, Jerry Hamilton, Tim Preston, Bobby Burton, you name the list, man. It's nothing but guys that can deliver over there. So let's talk a little bit about what delivered about 3 days ago. Greg Brown going to the NBA draft, really putting a damper on my heart because, Justin, I wanted him. You know damn well I wanted this guy to come back to the 40 acres, and it could have been one hell of a special season, but this young man is such a talent. He's going to go on to the NFL. He's going to go on and have a really good NBA career, I feel, in my opinion. I just wish he would have stayed a little bit longer on the 40 acres to kind of shape it up and focus it just a little bit more.
You know, you and I have talked about this kid for, what, 4 years now, 3.5, 4 years? He's such a wonderful kid. He really, really is.
You can't help but root for him. You have to root for him. He's that type of kid.
You can't help it. He's such a nice guy. He's so helpful with kids. He's so helpful with teammates. He's just a good person. He's a joy to be around.
Raised right.
No question. And it kind of digs me a little bit because I really do feel like one more year of college, and, you know, a lot of fans of different programs say this across the country. I'm saying this as a reporter. You give this guy one more year, I think Greg Brown's stock rises. At this point, I don't know if he's going in the first round, Wags.
Yeah, I got him. You got a second rounder?
We hope for the best, but I think this is a second round guy right now. And I think with another year of college seasoning, he's easily can move up in that first round. But this is a decision his family made. You got to respect that. It was always been his dream to play at the professional level. He's going to get that opportunity now. He's going to get paid to play the sport he loves as a profession. I wish him all the best. It was kind of funny because Trey Elling and Chad Hastings asked me about Greg on the show on Wednesday. And I had mentioned, I don't think Greg's coming back. If there's anything, I think he's going to go to the league. And, of course, less than 24 hours later, he puts out a release on Instagram and says, hey, I'm headed to the league. I'm gonna fulfill my dream. It's just one of those things where you're going to root for him wherever he goes, wherever he lands. And he's going to need to land in a really it needs to be careful where this guy lands in a good franchise. If he gets to a place that doesn't really accentuate what he can do, which is get up and down the floor, be active on the glass, use his athleticism on defense, and then really finish in transition. That's really what he can add right now. All the skill stuff is going to have to be more developed and brought along over the next few years. You want him in a great franchise. You want him in a place like the San Antonio Spurs, where they're so good about cultivating that young talent. You want him at good places like that. And so, to me, that's going to be my wish for Greg Brown is that when he does get drafted, he gets to an area where they understand he's got some upside, but he really needs to develop some of this other stuff. But in a couple of years, you could be looking at a younger Tracy McGrady if he follows that process.
That's the comp I got on him, too, man. I really think that he can be a lot like that player, like Tracy McGrady. Mr. McGrady time is what I used to say back in the day. But another franchise that I would like to see maybe him get involved in, too, and just maybe because I love this individual as a player, is the Miami Heat. I'd love to see him get a little bit mentored by Jimmy Buckets and just get calloused up a little bit, right? I think Miami's a team that plays good half-court ball, but they can also run as well as anybody else in the league. Now, I just don't know if he would actually have time or minutes to get on the floor in an organization like Miami. I just think they're too loaded.
Honestly, Wags, I think most organizations he's going to have to come off the bench. I mean, it's gonna be an 8th, 9th,
oh, no doubt,
10th bench role. I mean, it's just going to have to be, you know, a spot where he might play early where you see teams that are tanking already, Oklahoma City. You know, those guys, teams where he could get some run later in the season, the Detroit Pistons perhaps. But you're talking about, you know, early round in the second. These are guys that could go, you know, those are places where he could go early in the second. But, you know, Greg, Miami would be fun because then he could tell Jimmy Butler what it was like to attend Texas.
Right. Oh, that's dirty, man.
Wow.
We know how much Jimmy Butler, and trust me, I'm a big Butler fan. He's an alumni of Tyler.
Tom Ball, boy. Tom Ball, baby.
Tom Ball, absolutely. And so if he did wind up in Miami, he can always go over to Butler's locker and go, hey, what do you think about this hook'em gear? What do you think about this?
Nice.
So I'm excited for the kid. I wish nothing for the best. I hope he finds a good spot because he's got some stuff that can add to the league right now. He just needs to have a franchise that's going to be patient with him because it's going to take a few more years of development on the skill side of it. And once he gets that down, we're going to see the superstar that we always thought he could be in the next few years.
It seems to be anywhere but Sacramento, he'll be okay.
Well, that's just dirty.
Sacramento is not a good franchise.
I don't know. Buddy Hield's kind of
nah, but he just missed the playoffs again.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, you can
Fox over there too. There's another guy the Longhorns almost got.
Yeah, you can showcase your talents over there in Sacramento, but you know they can't galvanize as a team. That's for sure, man.
No, definitely not.
Okay, Justin. So let's talk about some of the football gridiron things over there at the 40 Acres. What's some good things that we need to look forward to?
All right, you know this is a good time for Texas football because you got a little bit of a break. It just come off of spring ball, tremendous spring. I mean, really, you want to say that each time, but they really got a lot accomplished. Especially considering they didn't really have one last year. This is perfect for Sark to install a lot of stuff, get a lot of data, get a lot of X's and O's in implemented.
And so seeing his personnel too, right? What he inherited.
Oh, absolutely. No question. I mean, it's not just the guys he inherited. You know, I always say this, Mack Brown didn't leave a ton for Charlie Strong, but he left some. He left a good defense. Charlie Strong didn't leave a ton for Tom Herman, but he left some good athletes that wound up going to the NFL and having some good early careers already. Tom Herman left the cupboard nice for Sark.
Yeah.
Sarkisian has got some guys, okay? And he's bringing in some guys. It's kind of similar to what Chris Beard's doing. Both of these new coaches
are... Oh, they're working it, baby. They're working it.
Such an urgency. They understand, hey, this it's real now. The shaking the hands, kissing the babies, making the phone calls, that's all done. Now you got to put in the effort. And so I love what Sark's done with the football team. I hate that the spring was kind of ended on a sour note with the passing of Jake Ellinger. To me, it's something that's going to be something that's going to stick with these guys for a long time. Jake was a special kid. I knew Jake really well. And so spring kind of ends on that. But I hope they do something, for him. I hope they do something for the number 48 next year. I honestly think they will.
I believe there is a scholarship being introduced for Jake, right?
They're going to be. It's going to be huge. It's going to be huge, and it's because that's the kind of kid he was. And so, this team, I think, is going to be galvanized somewhat by this. I think it will actually bring them in a little bit more. And this is a team that's already close. This is a team that was already willing to buy in before Sark was hired. There's some veterans on this group that are aligning all the younger guys to make sure they're at one goal, one focus. And Sark seems to be the guy that has really brought it all together. The guy that's known for his X's and O's, his offensive play calling, his schematics, but he's also great with relationships. And these kids are buying. They're buying into what the coaches are selling. And that's the first step towards getting to where they need to be. And that's winning the Big 12. OU is there. They need to get there. They've got a little gap now. They've all kind of spread out for the next few weeks. Some are on vacation. Some go home. Some are hanging out. But once June 1st rolls around, you're going to have the 2021, the rest of the enrollees come in. You're going to have that new crop of kids ready to fight and to play for a spot. And at the end of the day, I'm excited where Texas football is going to be. I'm excited to where, what's going to happen this summer when Hudson Card and Casey Thompson are running voluntary seven-on-sevens and trying to separate from each other. There's a lot of good storylines for the Texas Longhorns in 2021 from top to bottom, from quarterback to head coach to, all the way through. And so, like I said, spring finished really strong. It kind of had a little damper, a little sour note at the end, losing Jake. But, I think it'll galvanize these guys because they love the kid. And they really do like each other. I can tell you by doing this a long time, some of these guys don't like each other sometimes.
Right.
There's a lot of teams where these players just don't jive. They don't like each other. And you don't have a lot of that now. This program has scrubbed some of those malcontents. And Sark's kind of one of those guys. He's not going to be Tom Herman and talk a kid out of the portal. It's not going to happen. Tom Herman did that to 12 different players. That's a sixth of your program. If a sixth of your program is trying to quit,
you better let them quit, because if you let them back in, they're going to get negative to the other guy.
Yep.
They bring a black cloud.
That cancer spreads. Absolutely, man. 100.
Sark's anti that. And so I'm excited where Texas football is going to be. And I can't wait for June 1st, not only because of the early, the rest of the 21 class coming in, but the dead period is lifted for the NCAA for recruiting and official visits start. Then, man, Wags, it's going to get a lot of fun, because this group is recruiting well. This staff is recruiting well. And they're in some really good spots with some really talented dudes, from Kelvin Banks to Devin Campbell. These are some guys that they look good. Evan Stewart, they look good in some great situations here. And I think that June month is going to be huge for Sark and the staff to get those guys on campus. These kids haven't taken visits in a year and a half. That is ridiculous. Yeah. If you're trying to ask a kid to make a four-year decision. And so, to me, guys coming back in June, getting that recruiting kick back in the beginning of the summer, it's a good vibe right now with the Texas Longhorns, and I hope that maintains through August.
Justin, I love it. We got one more question before we get to break, and I just want you kind of dabbled on it and mentioned a little bit. Herman is leaving Sarkisian with a tremendous covered or loaded kitchen, so to speak. I mean, you got all kinds of stuff.
Loaded kitchen, but there's talent.
There's some really good
holes on offense that he neglected negligently, but there's some talent. You're right.
There's some really good amenities in the kitchen. Okay, we'll leave it at that. But what I'm loving from Sarkisian right now is just his aggressiveness in the transfer portal. Like you mentioned it, that Herman was talking kids out of going to the transfer portal or getting his keeping 12 kids from going into the transfer portal. Sark's shopping. Like what Sark can't find on the 40 acres, he's using the transfer portal. And I think I'm even quoting him. I'm paraphrasing him right now. But it's just like NFL free agency. It's NCAA free agency is what the transfer portal is. And go find your pieces.
No question. Especially when you give them the year transfer, the free year where they don't have to sit. Well, this is the modern era of college football. This is what we're in. This is kind of what the NCAA created. I'm not a fan of the portal. I've been very adamant about that. But for these programs,
but it is what it is, man.
Filling some holes, they're doing that. You know, Sark gets to Texas and he sees holes at linebacker. So what's he do? He goes and finds four.
Right, right.
And I'm not talking about guys that didn't make it their freshman or sophomore years. I'm talking about graduate transfers that have tons of starts under their belts. I'm talking about guys like Ray Thornton and Ben Davis. These are some big-time, good quality college football players. And so he's hit the portal really aggressively. He knows what he's looking for, and they're not done. I can see them looking for another receiver. I can see them potentially looking at maybe another offensive lineman. There's so many things that this team could still add. And that's why Sark, I think, is going to be good at this. He's going to churn the bottom of that roster, just like almost like a professional team does. He's got that experience, and I think that'll only help this program moving forward.
Talking to Justin Wells, managing editor for Inside Texas, giving you all the lowdown and dirty nuggets on the 40 acres that you can get to, man. Himself, Eric Nalin, Joe Cook, Jerry Hamilton, Ian Boyd, Skippy Otex. Did I miss any of them? I mean, you got a whole slew of guys. Bobby Burton over there, too. I think I forgot to mention him as well. But, my God, the list is long and distinguished there at Inside Texas, man, and it's led by Justin Wells, man. We really appreciate you coming on to the Wagner Wire. Anytime you have a chance to come on here, brother, you're an obligatory go-to.
Hey, brother, it's always good, man. We've got the best team in the business at Inside Texas. And the one guy you forgot to add is my main man, Alexander, here. Alexander, tell him what's up.
Did he say hook him? Did he just say hook him? I love it. Thank you, Alexander. Dynamite drop in, man. Alexander right there. I love it, man. Justin Wells, you can find him on Twitter at JustinWells2424. Hey, don't go anywhere. We're going to put a bow on this bad boy. It's the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Streaming live at hornfm.com. All right, you know that sound. It is Bittersweet by Kanye. It's also bittersweet that we got to get off the Austin airwaves here and leave you dry. Actually, you're going to be wet out there. So make sure you slow down. Hey, big shout out to my guy, Justin Wells, for coming on and talking a little bit about the 40 acres. Big shout out to
Al Walsh coming on and talking about all the seam head talk that you need. And big shout out to my guy, Justin Smash Simmons. He's also got his thing going on with Club Deportes as well, man.
Yeah, make sure to check it out on YouTube. You can follow it on Twitter at Club Deportes. And you
Thursday
can follow
nights.
Me. Thursday nights.
Video is different than audio, brother.
It definitely is. But I hope to have you on again. You joined me on another show recently, and the fans can go check that one out as well. It was a good time.
Dude, myself, Zay's been on there. It's a good, dude, you got a good staff, man. It's a fun show that you do, man. Nothing but, you're the kind of like the voice of St. Ed's, too, man.
Yeah,
got
sometimes.
Everything going on for St. Ed's. All right, hey, that's going to do it for us. You guys know the drill out there. Remember, until next week, slow down out there. Call me if you need to and enjoy the ride.